This session looks at an introduction to corporation tax. First of all, we must look at who is actually chargeable to corporation tax. Corporation tax is charged on any corporate body. Corporate bodies include both limited and unlimited companies. Corporation tax also applies to unincorporated associations. These include members' clubs and political associations. A company is basically any body which has been incorporated, and a company will be denoted with the terms limited or PLC. This stands for public limited company. An unlimited company will not have such denotation at the end of its name. In order to be a properly registered company, it must be registered at Companies House. EU regulations permit the formation of a Societas Europaea, or SE for short. This is a European company. The SE will be subject to the tax rules of the country in which it is resident. Companies are charged a corporation tax on income and chargeable gains. Broadly, companies will have trading profits, non-trading profits, property income, and capital gains. We will look at detailed calculations of each of these items as we progress through the lectures.
Have a look at the screen and decide which of the following are liable to corporation tax, given the definition I have just been through. Simply indicate your choices by ticking yes or no in each box. Once you have finished, select continue and I will go through the solution with you. Online Tutors Limited is a limited company and therefore is liable to corporation tax, as is Unilever PLC. Oxfam is a charity, and charities do not pay corporation tax, and so therefore there is no liability. The Seaford Golf Club, being a members club, is liable to corporation tax. However, the London Borough of Camden is not liable, as it is a local authority. Being a political association, the Green Party is clearly an unincorporated association and liable to corporation tax, but Chris Jones and the Jones Family Trust are liable to income tax and therefore outside the corporation tax regime. In the remainder of this module, we will concentrate on the taxability of companies. Let us now take a look at the issue of company residence. A company is resident in the UK if it is incorporated in the United Kingdom, i.e., it is registered at Companies House, either in England and Wales, Scotland or Northern Ireland. Companies which are not incorporated in the UK are resident here if their place of central management and control is in the UK. When answering this question, we have to look to see where the directors of the company live and meet. If this is in the UK, the company is highly likely to be classed as UK resident.
Companies which are resident in the UK are liable to tax on their worldwide income and gains, i.e., income earned and gains realised all over the world. However, there is still a liability to UK corporation tax by non-resident companies. Assume a company is resident for tax purposes in France, but is trading in the UK through a permanent establishment. This company will be subject to UK corporation tax on any trading profits, UK property income, and chargeable gains which are attributable to the permanent establishment.
Once we have determined the extent of the company's liability to tax, we must now see how it would become chargeable. Companies are liable to corporation tax for chargeable accounting periods. The chargeable accounting period is usually the period for which a company makes up a set of accounts.
For example, a company prepares a set of accounts for the year ending 31st of December 2010. This is known as the company's period of account, or POA. This company will also have a chargeable accounting period for the year ending 31st of December 2010, and this is known as the CAP.
However, the rules for chargeable accounting periods are not that simple. We must be aware for tax purposes of the special rules which apply to determine when a chargeable accounting period begins and when it ends. A chargeable accounting period begins on the earlier of the commencement of trading by the company, the acquisition of a source of income, for instance the opening of an interest-bearing bank account, the company becoming UK resident And finally, immediately after the previous chargeable accounting period ends. In short, there are no gaps between the end of one chargeable accounting period and the start of a new one.
A chargeable accounting period, CAP, ends on the earlier of the cessation or commencement of trade, the company becoming dormant, i.e. having no sources of income, the end of a company's period of account, or 12 months after it began. This means that a chargeable accounting period cannot exceed 12 months for corporation tax. A CAP also ends on the commencement of a winding up of the company, or on the company entering into administration, or finally, on the company beginning or ceasing to be UK resident.
Let's now look at an illustration. Oak Limited was incorporated on the 1st of January 2009. The company opened an interest-bearing bank account on the 1st of March 2009 and commenced to trade on the 1st of June 2009. Oak Limited prepared its first set of accounts to the 31st of August 2010 and annually thereafter to the 31st of August. We need to identify Oak Limited's first three chargeable accounting periods. The incorporation of Oak Limited does not cause a chargeable accounting period to commence. The first chargeable accounting period, CAP, commences on the 1st of March 2009, the date Oak Limited first acquires a source of income by opening an interest-bearing bank account. Commencing to trade on the 1st of June 2009 will cause a new chargeable accounting period to begin. Therefore, the first CAP must end on the 31st of May 2009, the day before trade commences. A CAP cannot exceed 12 months in length. Hence, the second CAP will end on the 31st of May 2010. The third CAP will commence on the 1st of June 2010. The day after the second CAP ended, and will end on the 31st of August 2010, the end of Oak Limited's period of accounts. Now, it's your turn to have a go at an example. On the screen, you will see an example of a company which was incorporated on the 1st of June 2011, making up its first set of accounts to the 31st of October 2012. This being the end of its first period of account. It opens a bank account on the 1st of September 2011, which bears interest, and commences a trade on the 1st of October 2011.
I would like you to insert in the boxes provided the start dates and end dates of the chargeable accounting periods. If you think we have provided you with too many boxes, simply write naught in the boxes you don't consider to be relevant. Once you have completed the exercise, push continue and I will go through this with you. Let's now have a look in detail at the rules. First of all, we must be aware that the incorporation of a company, i.e. registering at company's house, does not trigger the start of a chargeable accounting period. The obvious reason for this is that there is no income, so nothing to tax. A chargeable accounting period will only begin on the acquisition of a source of income.
Consequently, the first chargeable accounting period will begin on the 1st of September 2011 when the interest-bearing bank account is opened and will end on the commencement of trade as a new chargeable accounting period starts at that point. So, the first chargeable accounting period will run from the 1st of September 2011 to the 30th of September 2011. The second chargeable accounting period will start on commencement of trading and will end 12 months after it starts, on the 30th of September 2012. The third chargeable accounting period will begin immediately after the previous chargeable accounting period came to an end, i.e. on the 1st of October 2012 and will end on the 31st of October 2012 when the period of account ends.
Therefore, in the first period of account, the company has three separate chargeable accounting periods, and it is vital that we understand how these rules work, as we must tax companies for the right periods. If you did not get the example right first time, perhaps go over it again now before proceeding through the rest of this lecture, just to cement the rules in your own mind.